I'm speaking to you today from the book of Colossians. I'll be reading from the 3rd chapter, verse 11. And while you're finding the passage of Scripture, let me announce my subject. I'll be speaking on the subject, Christ is all. Now, I've preached from this text many, many times. I've preached from this text several times on this program. And with your patience and indulgence, I want to do so again, and I might add again and again, because this is the sum, the substance, and the essence of our gospel, of our hope, and of our glory. It says in verse 11 of Colossians chapter 3, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. But Christ is all and in all. My friend, he who longs to know the living God will make absolutely no progress in his quest until he knows beyond a doubt that in the knowledge of God, Jesus Christ is all. Our Lord said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now here's the question, how does a man know God? The disciples asked that question. They said, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and it satisfieth us. And Christ said, have I been so long time with you, and yet you do not know me? He that hath seen me hath seen my Father. And again he said, no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So if there's anybody out there who longs to know the living God, and David said, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul for thee, the living God. The living God. In a dry and thirsty land, my soul longs to know the living God. And my friend, he who longs to know the living God will make absolutely no progress whatsoever, until he comes to this conclusion, that in the knowledge of God, Christ is all. He that honoreth the Father, honoreth the Son. And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Christ reveals the Father. God is revealed in the Son. If you know Christ, you know the Father. If you do not know Christ, you'll never know the Father. Here's the second thing. He who seeks the pardon and forgiveness of sin. Now, I want that very much. I want my sins forgiven. David said this, happy is the man to whom God will not charge sin. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute iniquity. That is a blessed man. That is a happy man, to know all your sins are forgiven. All of your sins, past, present, and future, are put away, blotted out, covered over, cast into the depths of the sea, separated from you as far as the east is from the west. Do you want that? Do you desire that? I do. Well, I'll tell you this. He who longs for the pardon and forgiveness of sin will make no progress toward that goal until he learns that in the forgiveness of sin, Christ is all. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin through his blood. Peter said, You know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. So in the forgiveness of sin, Christ is all. In the knowledge of the Father, Christ is all. Now watch this. He who would be sanctified, he who would be made holy, I'm not talking about in the eyes of men. I'm not talking about before this world. I'm talking about in the sight of God. He who would be holy and without blame in God's presence will make no progress toward that goal until he knows that in sanctification, in righteousness, in holiness, Christ is all. That's right. He's all of our sanctification. We are holy in Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no holiness. Outside of Christ, there is no righteousness. Actually, our righteousnesses, Isaiah said in Isaiah 64:6, are filthy rags. We all do fade as the leaf, and our righteousnesses in God's sight are filthy rags. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh no man can please God, either saved flesh or lost flesh, either submissive flesh or rebellious flesh. But Christ is our righteousness. The righteousness of God is Christ, who himself, on behalf of his sheep, fully and completely and totally satisfied God's justice and obeyed God's law. He is our sanctification. And then watch this in the fourth place. He who would live forever. And that's what we want, isn't it? He who would live forever in the eternal kingdom of God will only enjoy that blessed state in Christ. That's where salvation is, and that's where eternal life is. John wrote, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So he who would know God, he who would be pardoned and forgiven of all sin, the person who would be sanctified holy in the presence and sight of God, and he who would live forever in the eternal kingdom of God must know that Jesus Christ is all and in all. He is all of our wisdom, all of our righteousness, all of our sanctification, and all of our redemption. Now, I want to divide this message into four parts. I'll preach it to you under four headings. And you remember these four headings if you can. If you can't, I'll give them to you as I go along. The first one is this. Jesus Christ is all in the eternal plan and purpose of God. Now, God had a plan before this world was made. God had a purpose before he ever did a work. Almighty God always plans and purposes what he plans to do. And then secondly, Christ is all in the Bible. He is all as far as the Bible is concerned. And thirdly, Christ is all in the redemption of a sinner, in the redemption of any sinner, you, me, or anyone else, Abraham, Moses, or Jacob. Christ is all. And then in heaven, for eternal eons, Christ is all. Now let's take those one at a time. First of all, Jesus Christ is all in the eternal plan and purpose of God. There was a time, my friend, when the earth had no being. There was a time when the earth did not exist as we know it now. There was a time when there were no mountains or rivers or seas or oceans. There was no green grass and trees. In fact, there were no stars. There was no moon and sun, no planets. There was a time when none of these things existed. If Jesus Christ is all, I ask this question. If he's all and in all, where was he then? Well, let me read you the scripture. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Capital W-O-R-D, the Word. Now, words are vehicles of thought. Words are the way we communicate what we want to tell someone else. That's how we communicate with them, by words. Jesus Christ is God's communication. Jesus Christ is a revelation of the Father. The way the Father speaks to us is through his Son. And that Word of God, who is Jesus Christ the Lord, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When he prayed in John 17:5, he said, Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and he was with the Father in the beginning. When God made man, he said, let us make man, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I can't explain the Trinity, but I can believe it. There are a lot of things about God I can't explain. There are a lot of things about God and his redemptive purposes and his eternal glory and his eternal power that I can't understand. But I believe it. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith, and you had better also. I believe God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit existed together before all things were made. Christ is all. He is all. All right, secondly, there was a time when the world was created in its present form. There was a time when the sun was put in space and the moon, the stars, each planet was ordained to follow its charted course. The world was made and put down here, and God divided the ocean, the water from the dry land. He made the night and the day. He made the trees and the mountains and the valleys and all these things. Last of all, he made man. Now, if Jesus Christ is all, where was he then? Well, let's read the word. It says in John 1:2, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Listen to Colossians 1:16. For by him, that's Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Visible and invisible. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Christ is all. Christ is all in creation. All things were made by him and for him. All right, let's move on. There was a day when sin entered this world. We know that God created man holy and upright without sin. God created man in his own image. And that man was given a law. There was a covenant of works made with that man. God put a tree in the Garden of Eden, and he said, don't eat of it. In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, we know that man rebelled against God, just like Lucifer, Satan, the fallen angels. And he rebelled in such a way that he ate of that tree and he died spiritually. Death, condemnation, judgment, darkness, evil passed upon all men. Man fell. He was permeated with guilt and shame and hatred and all these evil emotions and evil nature. Now, if Christ is all, where was he then? Where was Christ then? Well, I'll tell you this. He was the light that God promised to a dark world. He was the life that God promised to a dead world. He was the hope that God promised to a hopeless world. For God announced. Now, when the angels fell, there was no Savior provided. There was no Savior promised. He took not on himself the nature of angels. The angels that fell were reserved, chained in darkness, reserved until judgment, until the day of judgment. But God promised man a Savior. He said that a man would come into this world born of a woman. Not of the seed of man, but of the seed of woman and be born of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was God's promise of redemption in the darkest hour that this world has ever experienced, when man was plunged into death and evil and sickness and disease. Now, there was a time when the world, several thousand years later, there was a time when the world was buried in religious ignorance, ceremonialism, superstition. The world by wisdom knew not God. Now, if Christ is all, where was Christ then? Well, let me tell you what the Scripture says. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them born under the law. Christ Jesus came into the world. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Yes, in that dark hour of superstition, religious ignorance, idolatry, ceremonialism, when the world by wisdom knew not God, God himself, in the person of his Son, clothed in the likeness of sinful flesh, came into this world and was made flesh and dwelt among us for the purpose of saving people from their sins. He came into this world numbered with the transgressors, identified with the rebels. He came into this world clothed in human flesh and was tested and tried and tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And bearing the burden of our sin, he went to the cross of Calvary, and there under the wrath of God, he died, was buried, and rose again. That's the good news of the gospel. Well, let's go further. There's a time coming when this world shall end. God said he wouldn't destroy the world by water anymore. When Noah's ark came to rest, God put a rainbow in the sky. And he said, that's my covenant. That's my promise. I'll never again judge the world by water. I'll never destroy it, but I will destroy it by fire. And the day is coming when God will end this earth's existence. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. You say, why a new heaven? Because sin entered there too. I saw Satan fall from heaven, Christ said. Sin entered this earth, and God's going to do away with all sin, every stain of sin, every jot and tittle of sin, every atom of sin, every spot of sin. God will make a new heaven and a new earth. And God will judge all men. Every man shall give an account of himself to God. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If Christ is all, where will he be then? Listen to the word. God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We're not going to give credit to men or glory to men or praise to men. We're going to give that credit and glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he's Lord. God hath made all things in order that Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. And he said, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. When this world ends, and when God's judgment throne is approached by every son of Adam out of Christ, the judge on that throne will be none other than the Lamb who died on the cross. But he'll be the Lion. He'll be the judge. He'll be the one who'll commit every rebel to the pits of the damned. Jesus Christ is all. He said he's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and end. He's all in between. Everything that the Father had decreed, planned, purposed, and provided is because of and in Jesus Christ the Lord. All right? Secondly, Christ is all. He is all in the Bible. Now, the Bible, my friend, is a book of redemption. Christ is the key that unlocks the treasures of Scripture. Listen to the Acts chapter 10, verse 43. To him, that is to Christ, give all the prophets witness. He said, Moses wrote of me. He said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. If you can compress and condense this book until you get one word, that word will be Jesus Christ. In Luke 24, verse 44, he said to them, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. In the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, we have Christ in promise. In the middle of the Bible, it is Christ in prophecy and Christ in picture. In the end of the Bible, in the New Testament, it is Christ in person. You read the Scriptures. Christ is our Passover. Christ is that rock. It was Christ to whom Abel looked when he brought that sacrifice, the lamb without spot or blemish. It was Christ of whom Enoch prophesied, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. It was Christ that Abraham saw on Mount Moriah when he substituted the ram for his own son. It was Christ of whom Jacob spoke when he lay dying and said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh come. It was Christ that the Israelites pictured in the Passover in Egypt. It was Christ pictured in the wilderness. The bread from heaven is Christ. The rock Moses smote is Christ. The brazen serpent lifted up is Jesus Christ. The tabernacle where God met men and men met God is Christ. The priesthood, the atonement, every sacrifice, every scapegoat is Jesus Christ. It was Christ of whom David wrote in the Psalm, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. It was Christ prophesied from Isaiah to Malachi. I ask you, my friend, what is the Bible to you? Is it a book of history? Is it a book of good moral precepts? Is it a book of doctrine to be argued? Is it a book of prophecy to be speculated? Or is it the Word of God in which you have found Jesus Christ? If you have not found Christ to be all and in all, if you have not found Christ to be the blessed key to the treasures of Scripture, then you've read your Bible to very little purpose. And you will find at the end, as our Lord said to the Pharisees, this book will judge you. And then, my friends, thirdly, Christ is all in the redemption of a sinner. Now, I don't wish to be misunderstood. I hold to the election of the Father. God the Father purposed to redeem. He chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. We're sanctified by God the Father. I believe that. I know that to be true. The purpose is of the Father. He purposed salvation. He planned it. He executed it. He applied it. He sustains it, and he will perfect it. I believe the Bible teaches the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, the effectual call of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. There's perfect harmony in the blessed Trinity. But my friend, in the redemption of a soul, in the salvation of a sinner, it is the purpose of God to glorify His Son. Christ is all in redemption. It says, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Of God He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ is our wisdom, all of our wisdom. Outside of Christ, there's nothing but ignorance and foolishness. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. Christ is all our righteousness. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ is all of our sanctification. He, Jude said, will present you holy. Christ is all of our redemption, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin through His blood. Christ is all of our hope. He says, Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. My friend, faith is not the Savior. Christ is. A man's not saved because he believes. A man is saved because Christ died for his sins. Now, a man's not saved who doesn't believe. Works is not the Savior. Christ is the Savior. Works didn't die on the cross. Works do not intercede at the throne of God. Works cannot make us whole. It is Christ that makes us whole. But a man's not saved who does not work. Faith without works is dead. Prayer is not the Savior. But a man is not saved who does not pray. Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is our redemption. He is our sanctification. He is our righteousness. He is all things. The Father looks on the Son and redeems us. The Father looks on the Son and receives us. The Father looks on the Son and raises us. The Father looks on the Son and enthrones us. It's all in Christ. When He died on the cross, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. When He rose again, we arose in Him. Christ is the Savior. He's the object of faith. Now, the Word of God is the foundation of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We believe because God has said it. God has written it. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But the Word of God is not the object of faith. Christ is. The Word of God's not the Savior. Christ is. Somebody said this, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The only hope, the only plea, is that when Christ died, He died for me. That's the hope, and that's the plea. Now, let's look at the last thing now. Christ is all and in all. He's all in the eternal purpose and plan of Almighty God. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. He purposed to save. He was pleased to save. He planned to save, and that in Christ. And Christ is all in the redemption of a sinner. And Christ is all in the Word of God. The Word is Christ. Christ is the Bible. Christ is salvation. Christ is eternal life. But last of all, Christ will be all in heaven. Our Lord said to that thief who was hanging with Him on Calvary's hill, He said, today shalt thou be with Me in paradise. With Me. Christ is heaven. He is heaven. Heaven is to be with Christ. To be with Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Heaven is Christ. It's to be with Christ. It's to gaze upon Christ's face. It's to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's to be made in His likeness. Heaven is Christ. In John 14, verse 1, our Lord said to His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Christ is our heaven. He's all in heaven. As I said before, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. Everybody in heaven, earth, and hell. But the praise of Christ will be our eternal song. That's what the song of heaven is, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The glory of Christ will be our delight. We're going to proclaim His lordship. We're going to exalt and magnify His name forever and forever. The Lamb on the throne as if it had been slain. The service of Christ will be our occupation in heaven. That's what we're going to do day and night, serve Him. And then the presence of Christ will be our security. Our security is not ourselves or our deeds or our works or our records. Our security is the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you know the Father? The only way to know the Father is in Christ, the Son. Would you have your sins all forgiven, all pardoned, all put away? The only way for sin to be pardoned and put away is in Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Would you, my friend, be sanctified, holy, righteous, in the presence of Almighty God, without sin, without stain, without mark, holy, unblameable in His sight, justified in His presence? Would you? The only way is in Christ. It's not at an altar, it's not in a law, it's not in a denomination, it's not in a religion, it's in Christ. Would you live eternally in glory? Christ is heaven. And this is what disturbs me. How little men know who talk of going to heaven when they manifest no love for Christ now, no concern for Christ now, no delight in Christ now, nor in His presence. My friend, He is heaven. If you don't enjoy Him now, you'll never enjoy Him there.